Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Psych Radio. I am your host, Psych Bomb, on this June 21st, 2026. Glad to be back with here with all of you again. So I do actually have a theme tonight, as I mentioned last week. It was kind of falling into a bit of a rut going through my usual channels, and so I decided to mix things up a bit. So we do have a very special theme here for you tonight, and I'm certain you'll all enjoy it. Matter of fact, you know, I've skipped the news this week. I've skipped a lot of the preliminary stuff because I do really just want to get into the music. And as a matter of fact, let's just stop the intro here, because I know we all want to get straight into it. So the theme for this week is the very best of video game music, and I'd like to start things off with a little ditty from the London Philharmonic Orchestra. No, I'm just fucking with you. I'm just joking. It's a little joke. It's a little prank. No, what we're actually doing is the, oh wait, hold on, let me turn this back down. What we're actually doing is a collection of down-tempo, ambient PS2 music I found. Specifically, it's a lot of, it's okay if it was multi-plat. As long as it was on the PS2, it's okay. And it turns out it's actually really hard to find the kind of ambient down-tempo work that I enjoy from the PS2 catalog. There's a shitload of jungle. I know everyone loves jungle, but D&B and jungle are not quite the vibe I was looking for tonight. So I did have to put a good amount of work in to get all these collected for you, but I think I do have a pretty good collection here. A lot of obscure stuff, a lot of less obscure stuff. Some tracks I don't even know where they came from, but yeah, we'll get into a few of them here, and hopefully you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed curating it. So, getting things started off tonight, we've got Koji Nikura, Rakdim, Peter Hajba, and Masanori Hikichi as our composers, and it might be best as well to let you know what games these are from. We've got Hard Luck, Primal Image for Printer, Bejeweled 2, and the Oh My Goddess soundtrack. So, enjoy. Thank you. That was Koji Nakura with Hard Luck, Rakdim with Primal Image for Printer, Peter Hodgeba with Bejeweled 2, and Masanori Hikichi with Oh My Goddess. Coming up next for you, I've got another collection of games that don't have a ton in common beyond the fact that a lot of them are more obscure. A lot of the PS2 catalog I found was not kind of going for the sounds that I wanted. It turns out that there are a lot of PlayStation 2 games where you have a sword and are in a field running around some medieval village killing chickens or something. Like, it's the most, like, the TV show where the kid is, like, holding the controller and he's, like, tilting it back and forth, and then it's, like, his mom walks in front of him and turns the TV off and he goes, "But Mom, I was on level 4! Like, just fake, like, medieval action games. So I ended up having to dig through kind of the weirder parts of the back catalog. One of the games that I found was a 12 Riven, or to give it its full name, 12 Riven, the Psycliminal of Integral, which is beautiful. And if you know anything about one Mr. Uchikoshi, who brought us 999 and VLR and all that, you should know immediately that, like, this has his kind of branding on it. The phrase "psi criminal" here is written with the psi Greek symbol, and it was one of the games made by Kid, which was the development company that Uchikoshi worked at, and they went out of business right after they made the Infinity series, the Ever 17, the Out of Infinity, I believe, was the most popular one. So Kid dies while they're making this game, and it gets taken over by Cyberfront, who managed to get their hands on what's left of the assets. There isn't much of the company at this point. Like, Gal Games are kind of going the way of the dinosaur. It's not really a viable market if you're trying to go for, like, mass appeal. Things are transitioning more to the computer than they are to the PlayStation 2. And perhaps unsurprisingly, this game releases late. This game releases very late. It releases in 2008. So the Xbox 360 had been out for 3 years and the PS3 for two, which is a pretty common pattern I noticed in a lot of the games I downloaded. I was really not expecting it to work out that way. I was expecting a lot more early catalog games, like 2001, 2002, because 2000 was still all, like, MIDI sequencers because no one knew what they could do with the hardware yet. But, you know, that kind of electronic, spacey, trip-hoppy sound, to me, that's very 90s. And the fact that a lot of this electronic stuff persisted almost up until the 2010s, when the PS2 was already very much a dead and dying console, is quite strange. I don't really have an explanation for how or why, beyond the fact that just this is kind of the way it is. You know, you never really know with a lot of antiquated technology, with developers who are just trying to get a product out, what they're going to end up going with. And a lot of ambient electronic, I guess, just ended up being what was popular at the end of the PlayStation 2's life. Unless you're the Atlas team making Shin Megami Tensei, in which case, you know, Persona 4 is fucking jazz or whatever. But anyway, coming up next for you here, we've got 12 Riven, Black Matrix 2, and Hurrah Sailor, each composed by Abo Takeshi, The Hustler's Concept, and Hura Sada, respectively. Was Abo Takeshi with 12 Riven, The Hustler's Concept with Black Matrix 2, and Huarasaura with Hurrah Sailor. Another thing that surprised me going through all of these games was the sheer amount of them that were visual novels that I had never heard of. And that was particularly interesting to me because, this is almost certainly just revealing my own ignorance, but to me, visual novels have always seemed like a thing from the computer. You know, they're for the computer. You boot them up, you know, they have no system requirements whatsoever. You put that CD-ROM that you got from some guy at a convention into your computer and you play through the trashiest of trashy HVNs you've ever seen in your entire life. Of course, this is, you know, again, this is obvious ignorance. Tokimeki Memorial was on the Super Nintendo. I guess what's strange to me is that the cost of having to master and manufacture PlayStation 2 discs in particular, because a data CD for a computer, you know, anyone can burn that at home, but to press a PS2 game requires a lot of capital that I'm surprised most visual novel creators had at the time. Because keep in mind, too, a lot of these were not ports to the PS2. A lot of these games came out on PS2 first and then came out on PC later. And Sony standards and practices and whatnot being what they were at the time, a lot of these PS2 games came out neutered and then had sex scenes added back into them when they got their PC releases. But you can kind of tell that there was a lot missing from the originals. Like, they clipped the original, sent it out, and then the unaltered, unedited, you know, director's cut, that was what came out on Windows later on. So it's almost strange to see so many of these visual novels getting trotted out in late 2009. You know, it almost feels like they're being sent out to die. But if you got a PS2, I mean, a lot of people had PlayStation 2s. You know, not everyone had a work computer that they could dedicate playing a visual novel on. You know, maybe they just wanted to play it on their PS2. So, you know, the need was met. It's just, I don't know if that would have been a successful business model in the U.S. And I guess it wasn't, because most of these never came to the U.S. A lot of these remain Japanese exclusive forever. And, you know, looking at them and listening to some of these soundtracks, they don't seem particularly inspired. You know, a lot of the box art is that kind of ebi kawaii ugu, with like the, you know, the big moe blob fish eyes that are like too far apart with no nose. You know the one I'm talking about? Like, it doesn't inspire much, but I have managed to find a few that did resonate with me quite a bit. So coming up now, we've got Haru no Ashioto, Interlude in Iris by Tenmon, Kenji Nakazawa, and Takeshi Abo and Takehiro Inoue. Again, enjoy. Thank you. That was Tenmon with Haruno Ashioto, Kenji Nakazawa with Interlude, and Abo Takeshi and Inoue Takahiro with Iris. We're coming up on the end of the show now, and I have made sure to save the very best tracks for last. We do have, to close out the show, Akira Yamaoka, often imitated, never duplicated, and Onoken, responsible for the I.O. soundtrack, which is one of the most hideous visual novels I have ever seen, but in a way that, like, rules instead of being, like, gross or, like, embarrassing. Like, it's just, like, the most overdone, like hyper 2000s thing you've ever seen. And I've also got a track in here just called Track 14, because when I downloaded it, all the metadata got wiped, and I can't find where I got the file from. So I don't know what this is. I don't know where it's from. All I know is that it's called Track 14, and it sounded good when I listened to it. So kind of up next for you, we've got Track 14 from somebody, Akira Yamaoka with the Silent Hill 3 soundtrack, and Onoken with Io. Let's give a listen to Track 14. Nah, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding with you. Okay, actually... We'll be right back.
Love lies everywhere. It has captured my desire. It suddenly makes your heart pure and just almost brand new. Your whiteness is admired. The color is same as her virginity. Look, she's got your blue off. Shows deep inside of yourself. See, this is what she made you. So strong and be tough always. As an ancient hymn, you dreamt for to save your word with your hands now. As an ancient
That was track 14 from Somebody, Akira Yamaoka with the Silent Hill 3 soundtrack, and Onoken with I.O. And this has been Psych Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spending your evening with me. And I hope you have a good one. I'll see you this time next week. Goodbye.